Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I like to ask people, what did you learn about yourself from your past marriage?
I learned that, first of all, it's impossible to have healthy love without the Lord. Like, I feel like it is impossible to have a healthy love without it being rooted and grounded in Christ. I learned that I can be manipulative. I can be passive aggressive. I can be defensive, all the things. Like, you learn.
I want people to hear this because, see, a lot of men, y'all don't think women can be accountable. Now, look at this. I know you heard that on social media, like, women can never be accountable.
Oh, mouthy, disrespectful, all of the things.
You said manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like in a relationship?
I think I'm really good with my words. So, like, the thing that you're gifted in, I feel like, is the very thing the enemy tries to attack, will 100. Attack you in. And he'll, so the very thing that God wants to use you for his glory and for his kingdom, is the very thing that the enemy wants to use you for his agenda and plan. And so, when my heart is far from the Lord, I can be manipulative in conflict and in trying to be defensive and trying to get you to come to what I want you to come to.
Every second that escapes without you here with me keeps my heart anticipating till I finally see you.
When I made my vows, I told God that I was gonna take care of this gift.
All my life I've been waiting for you. Girl, you know I've been praying for you. Been writing these love letters to you.
So I fight for that future in the present. You know what I'm saying?
That was
congratulations to the ones who found love, for the hope and new beginnings from heaven above. I await my future wifey. I pray that it won't be too long. Too long.
Welcome to a Dear Future Wifey podcast. I'm your host, LaTerris R. Whitfield. Listen. Are you still shacking up with us? If you're still shacking up with us, can we get a commitment? Hit that subscription button and subscribe. Make sure you turn on your notification bell so you'll be notified about upcoming episodes. And go and hit that like button so this video can be recommended to other people that may be perusing on YouTube. And while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for the mailing list. There's a link in the description. You know, season 8 has been very intentional on the guests that I've chosen for the podcast, as with every season. But this season is about love. It's about sharing hope. A lot of people who have DM'd me have said that they felt hopeless on this journey of love, and they feel like they don't have their purpose partner out there, and their hearts have been mismanaged. They've gone through divorces, and they just kind of feel like, you know, God just may not have love intended for them. And so I like speaking to people that can speak life into your situation. And today I have a very, very special guest. I've been watching her on her journey. She's been unapologetically transparent and vulnerable. And that's what I love most. Y'all know the moniker of the podcast is we keep it lit. We live intentionally and transparently. And this guest is the epitome of that. Without further ado, welcome to the Dear Future Wifey podcast. My homie, Megan Ashley. Brooks, I might as well say that. How you doing, Megan Ashley?
Good, how are you?
Just kind of call you by all your names.
Yes, you can call me all the names, all of them.
So, Megan, how do you feel? How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Happy to be here. Woke up pretty early. So.
Yeah, how early did you have to get up to come on to Dallas?
So, I went to bed at like 1:30 and then woke up at 4.
4?
Or like 3:30.
And your flight was at what time?
We flew out at 6:45.
Oh, yeah.
But I live an hour away from the airport, so I had to be up early.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. All right. But you in here.
We're here. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Megan, have you ever been, have you heard of the Dear Future Wifey podcast?
Yes, of course.
What have you known about it before we go deep dive into your story?
So I just have seen a few episodes with some guests that I love. Right. Like the Pittmans.
Yes.
And Kev on stage and his wife. And the one, my favorite episode, obviously, is the one where...
where Whitney wig fell off?
Yes.
So if that was you, would you allow me to post that?
Absolutely.
You'd have let me just post your hair? Your
I
wig?
Mean... The way that she handled it, yes, because it was too funny. It was the nigga for me. I was like, yes, that.
Nigga.
She was like, nigga. I was like, that was just the best.
Let me tell you something. I slid all the way out this chair. You understand me? Man, because I didn't know whether to laugh or what. I was like looking at her. I was like, I know she embarrassed.
It was watching it slide back. It was the slide
But see,
back.
I didn't know that was a wig. I thought that was her natural hair.
I didn't either.
And she said that, you know, the crazy thing about it was that she had told people who had DM'd her. Well, she didn't tell them that. She just accepted them saying, girl, I love that you wear your natural hair. She like, thank you.
So, that's hilarious. So, and then to watch it slide, that's crazy.
I was gone.
That was one of my favorites. So yeah, I know a little bit about your journey and how you started this podcast to kind of, you know, prepare your heart and prepare yourself for, you know, love again. I think that's dope.
Man, when I tell you that was the most vulnerable task that God beset before me. He was like, listen, I want you to do this. And I was like, and you and I had this conversation when he told me to do the podcast. I was like, well, God, you know, I think that every episode I'm supposed to be able to say, and here's 5 steps to getting closer to this, and here's 3 steps to getting healed and all that. I said, but God, I don't know the answer to all that.
Yeah.
And God said, I know, just do what you do and take people on the journey. I said, people be interested in me trying to figure it out. He said, absolutely. You and I had a conversation about how when the last podcast you were a part of, it ended, you was like, you was about to just slide off and fade off into oblivion.
Yeah.
And then God said what did God say to you?
You know what? It's not what he said, is what he didn't say so much. You know what I mean? My mom always told me, she was like, you know, if you don't know what to do next, do the last thing God told you to do. And so if he hasn't given you anything new to do, just obey the last thing he told you to do until he says something new. And so,
wow,
I prayed and, you know, approached God often about what am I supposed to do? What do you want me to do, Lord? And am I supposed to continue? Am I not? And that was very clear, like, do what I told you to do. The last thing I told you to do, and it was to share my journey and be transparent. So
how'd you feel going from having a co-host and then doing it solo?
I hated it.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate it. So, I mean, I need to stop. I need to watch my words. I don't hate it, but it's a challenge.
Very uncomfortable.
It's very uncomfortable, and it's a challenge for me because I never, you know, imagined a life where I would be doing this on my own. I just never imagined that.
Right.
And so to be thrusted into something like that, it was just something that I wasn't expecting.
How's your healing journey been going since that? I mean, because you experienced a loss of a best friend, a loss of a podcast that you're working on, a loss of a husband, all around the same time, you know, within the 1 year span or whatever.
Yeah.
How did you reconcile that?
I think that knowing that God is sovereign and he's like not caught off guard by anything, that he knows everything and knows the days ahead of me. And you know what I mean? So I think I found comfort and safety knowing that God wasn't caught off guard by anything. And yet he still loves me. And yet he still has called me. And yet he still has, you know, ordained me to do something specific in this time. And so I think grappling with the fact that the Lord actually loves me has been the biggest part of healing from all of those things, you know, is knowing that God loves me. That was like my biggest thing.
Was that something that you wrestled with growing up, with God's love?
Yeah, I think I don't think I really, you know, I don't think I ever really like came to terms with the fact that God loved me, because the enemy was so after my thoughts in the opposite and causing me to feel unworthy because, you know, my dad wasn't in my life the way he should have been. And so when your father... You know, that's the foundation of how you kind of receive love, whether he's present or not. Like that role and that position in your life, it matters.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, me and my dad have a great relationship now, but
he's human, and his humanity affected my humanity.
Yeah.
And it was hard for me to know that I was actually worthy of being loved. And I didn't come to that realization until last year.
So. Were y'all able to, since then, has you and your biological father reconciled it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We're really, I mean, me and my parents are so close. Like, I'm really close to my parents, and I'm so thankful for that. But, I mean, it took hard conversations.
Yeah.
You know, me and my dad are very similar. We are hot-headed people, you know.
Megan, you hot-headed? I can't see that in you. You seem so meek and mild.
The Lord does a work. Okay, that's how you know the Lord is real. I'm just saying, the Lord is really real. He is real, because I am a heathen.
So you talking about when you was growing up, you was like that in high school. How are you? You wasn't the one fighting nobody, was
you? No, but I just had a mouth. You know, just you talk too much. You just talk too much. Shut up. You're mouthy.
Were you like that in your past marriage?
Yes.
And so,
that's Megan without the Lord. Mouthy. I'm just mouthy. You talk too much.
The M stand for mouthy.
Mouthy. Just you talk too much.
And so even in your past marriage, when that was an issue that your ex-husband called you out on that, say, man.
Oh, yeah. He didn't shy away from calling me out on anything. That's probably why we're in the situation we're in now. It's like he called me out all the time.
I like to ask people, what did you learn about yourself from your past marriage?
I learned that. First of all, it's impossible to have healthy love without the Lord. Like, I feel like it is impossible to have a healthy love without it being rooted and grounded in Christ. I learned that I can be manipulative. I can be passive aggressive. I can be defensive. All the things. Like, you learn.
I want people to hear this, because see, a lot of men, y'all don't think women can be accountable. Now look at this. I know you heard that on social media, like, women can never be accountable.
Oh, mouthy, disrespectful, all of the things.
You said manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like in a relationship?
I think I'm really good with my words. So, like, the thing that you're gifted in, I feel like, is the very thing the enemy tries to attack, will 100. Attack you in. And he'll, so the very thing that God wants to use you for his glory and for his kingdom, is the very thing that the enemy wants to use you for his agenda and plan. And so, when my heart is far from the Lord, I can be manipulative in conflict and trying to be defensive and trying to get you to come to what I want you to come to. You know what I mean? So
how did you come to this? Well, probably therapy, huh?
Therapy is helpful, but I mean, it's like, you know yourself. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, truthfully, like, you know you. You can.
But sometimes you may not be aware. You lie to yourself so much that you believe that.
But you know you also lying to yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have to keep it a buck. You lying to yourself. You know that you're. You know that you're mouthy. You know you're moody. You know that you're manipulative. You know that. Now, you can try to make excuses as to why, right? But it's like, you are, you know.
You try to blame shit and say, well, if you wasn't like this, then I wouldn't have to do this.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, you have to take accountability for your role. You know what I'm saying? Like, regardless of what caused it or whatever, like, you have to take accountability for your role. You know what I'm saying?
But when did it get, how long did it take, or what year did you come to this knowledge of yourself to
last
be able to articulate
year.
It? So last year,
told you, that's when everything hit, like everything. I mean, and like I said, I've always known, like, okay, man, you're being manipulative, stop. Like, I would be in the middle of an argument and be like, all right, now you're taking it too far. It's like, just give it up. But here's the thing. It's knowing God brought me to a place of humility. Do you know what I'm saying? Because I think that we are so prideful that we don't want to admit that this is an issue and I need to get it fixed, or I need to, you know, be honest about why I'm doing these things or whatever. So it's just a pride thing. It's just like, you're prideful. You're prideful.
Is there a way of avoiding heartbreak? You said stay single. Well, is that statement true if you sincerely desire marriage? That actually would mean you'll be breaking your own heart. You can imagine how many DMs or emails or comments I receive with people asking me matters of the heart. Well, I'm excited to announce that on Monday, April the 15th, we'll be going live for a free event in celebration of our 4-year anniversary of the beloved Dear Future Wifey podcast. We're going to be hearing from past guests, and I have a big announcement that's going to be truly life-changing. So I want you to register today at identifindyou.com. That's I-D-E-N-T-I, find, F-I-N-D, the letter U.com. Identifindyou.com. Can't wait to see you there.
Was it a moment where you were just sitting in your room or sitting at home where you were in worship or just crying before God because all this stuff started crashing down and you had that come to Jesus moment, or did it come in stages? You were in church and you heard a sermon. Or
I think, I mean, it did come in stages, but I think like the moment that I was in so much pain, just like pain, like sad, right? Like my marriage is over. You know, my friendship situation was really, really bad and rocky. And so I think that I came to a point, like when I was in that much pain where my heart was aching so bad from that, I came to a point where like I committed myself to him fully. Then that's why the podcast is called In Totality, because God was requiring my life in totality, not just parts of my life. And I realized through taking inventory and being aware and acknowledging what, you know, what my life had come to, I realized that I had given him so many parts of me, but never had I given him all of me in totality. And so that was a moment where I knew I have to commit my life to him fully without any leaving any part out fully. He can have my life fully. And then it grows in stages, right? Like the more I started reading my word, the more I started praying, the more I started dedicating significant time to him, the more I started to include him in everything, the more that commitment stays, you know, stronger. And it's an everyday thing. Like I have to do this every day.
Every day.
You know, like commit every day.
I would be remiss if I didn't ask you the elephant in the room, the question of what happened in that relationship and your friendship.
To be honest, I just think that people, you grow, you know, and I don't know if it's one specific thing. I think that you just grow and you realize, you know, maybe this doesn't serve me anymore on both sides. And so, you know, you just want the best for people, and then you just kind of move on for whatever God has for your life, and you bless, you know, whatever they got going on. You just bless them and you move on.
How did that feel though? From a, cause
oh, like, it's painful. It sucks.
It felt like a death.
Oh, huh? It is. It absolutely does. I mean, it still feels like a death. You know, it sucks. It's not easy.
Is there times where something happened, you want to pick up the phone and call your best friend? You'd be like,
no,
that don't, mm-mm. You pass that stage?
Yeah, no, there's none of that, but there is, you know, it's grief, you know, and there's stages that come in grief. There probably was a time where I wanted to do that. I'm not at that place right now. But you know, it's grief. You go through it, you go through the stages of it. But I think more than my attention being on those things, my attention is on the Lord. My attention isn't on those things anymore of how I feel, like making it all about me, how I feel, what this felt like, what they did to me, what. It's just like my focus is on the Lord.
Let me ask you this, because sometimes it sounds like we over-spiritualize real emotions. Mm-hmm. When you say, my attention is on the Lord, but this is a real loss you lost from a friendship. Mm-hmm. This is a loss you lost from a husband. Now you're in a co-parenting situation. Yeah. Holidays come up. You got to negotiate where the kids go, all that type of stuff. How do you process that real stuff? Because sometimes as Christians, we can over-spiritualize, and people are going through stuff right now, and they're like, I'm trying to put my attention on the Lord, but I'm physically hurting right now because I'm mourning the loss of this man or woman that used to lay beside me in the bed. Mm-hmm. Like I'm mourning the loss of that. My kids are saying, is daddy coming home? Yeah. I'm feeling like, am I going to ever get married again? Yeah. Whatever these questions are. And then people be like, well, Jesus is my husband. Well, truth be told, people don't really want Jesus to be their husband.
Yeah, I mean, okay. So that's what y'all want. I mean, I think that it's okay to acknowledge and be aware of what you feel.
Facts.
Right? But I do believe that feelings are temporary. I really do believe that. And I do believe that when we stop and pause, right? Selah, pause and consider and ponder on what God says towards what we feel, about what we feel. That's what I mean by that. I'm not ignoring, and nor do I, you know, I'm not recommending that anybody ignore what they feel, but take what you feel, take inventory, and now compare that to what the Word of God says about it, and stop making it so much about me, me, me. Will I ever get married? Will I ever do this? Well, what is the will of God for your life? And that's what we need to be asking for. God, what is your will for my life? Because a lot of times we find ourselves in pain and in situations that if we would have considered God in the first place, we probably wouldn't be in these situations. So instead of focusing the attention back on you, focus the attention on the Lord. God, I feel this pain. Now, what do you want me to do with it? Because the Bible says, cast your cares on him, for he cares for us.
Teach.
So here, Lord, here is my pain. Here is my anger. Here is my resentment. Here is my vengeance that I want to give to someone. Here is my offense. Here is my unforgiveness. Help me. Like, we need help from the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can't do it on our own. And so I think that's what I mean by my attention is more on him than focusing on how I feel. You know what I mean?
I asked you a question that, and I love the response. And I don't know if you're going to get the same response when I did the pre-interview. But I said, you're single now. How many kids do you have?
I have three.
You have three kids.
Three boys, yeah.
And having a single woman with three kids, and what are the ages?
My oldest is 13. My middle is 11. And my youngest will be 10 in May.
And I ask you, do you feel like it's going to be difficult for you to be remarried being a single woman with three kids?
I don't, because I believe that the person that I will have next will be from God. And I believe that, it, you know, when God brings that person into my life, he would have already had his heart prepared for what, for who I am and for what I am. I am interested in and I desire to be with somebody who seeks the Lord for me, like for my heart, for to know me and to know how the Father sees me and how he wants him to respond to me. So I believe that if it's meant to be, these kids ain't about to be an issue. And they're older. It's like, we ain't changing no diapers. They are fine. They can make their own grilled cheese, their own chicken nuggets. They're fine.
The reason why, and you didn't fail me in that response again, because we, a lot of times people have a scarcity mindset and forget that God is God. God ain't Instagram. God ain't TikTok.
Yeah.
God is God. And what I mean by that is that you can listen to all these gurus try to tell you, well, you know, you a leftover woman if you this age and all this crazy stuff that we digest and ingest instead of saying, but what did God say?
Yeah.
God's words are yay and amen.
Yeah.
God says that he can grant you the desires of your heart. And the reality is oftentimes we'll look around at our situation and we see it through our own lenses instead of saying, but how does God see it?
Yeah.
And you said something so profound where you said, I want a man that literally goes to God on learning how to love me.
Yeah.
And that's so important.
Because that's who wrote the manual. I did not write this man. I don't even know me. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't even know. I don't know. You have to seek the Lord who created me, who formed me before he placed me in the womb of my mother. You need to ask him, because
I don't even know me.
I don't all the time. You know what I'm saying? In every way, not the way the Lord knows me.
Yeah.
You know, he knows us intimately and loves us intensely. So that's who we need to go to when it comes to loving our significant other. Like, I feel like we only include the Lord when things are hard, and not just initially making that like a commitment and a consistency of seeking the Lord on behalf of the person that I say I love.
Well, let me ask you this. You so word filled. Have you always been like that? Like, growing up?
I'm really literal with my words. So I can't say I always loved the Lord, because I know that I didn't. I did not love him. Yeah. I did not. I did not love him. But I was raised in church. So God has always been a focus in my life. I've always believed in the Lord to an extent. You know what I'm saying? But the Bible says if we love him, then we obey him. And I know I didn't obey him in so many seasons of my life.
Yeah.
So I can't say that I loved him all the time. But I've always just like been in church and had this fire for God, like deep down inside me. And it's always been a part of my conversations.
Really?
Yeah, always.
So when always. You, even when you were dating in high school or
even in sin, even when I was a hot mess,
you'd be talking about the Lord.
Yeah. I mean, if it came up or something was going on, or if I wanted to encourage people, like encourage a friend or whatever, God was always included in it. That's just how I've always been.
And so you feel like, you know, we've saw the growth throughout the years or whatever, but did it just really elevate last year?
Yeah.
That's where you was just like, I'm unashamed. I'm unapologetic. I'm finna just go all in.
Yeah, because what? What do you mean? Because it's like, isn't that what we're supposed to do? You see what I'm saying? Like we've just lived in a society where we have compromised so much with our walk that it's common now. Like living like this in for Christ in totality is radical. You're too much. It's not that deep. Listen. All right. I read the Bible, and I know that there is going to come a day where we're going to stand before him and have to take account over the things we did do and the things that we didn't do. Every idol, every word is going to be taken into account.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So yes, it is that serious to me. Yes, it is that deep to me. Yes, I am committed fully. And if that's radical to you, then that's radical to you. I'm sorry, but I'm not. I want to at least be a voice that is not going to compromise, because there are so many that do. And I get it. You get caught up in I get it. But it's like, I can't know something and do something opposite of what I know. I can't. I know what the Lord has done for me. I know how he picked me up. Right? Like the old folks used to say, how he picked me up, turned me around and placed my feet on a solid ground. I get that now. You know what I'm saying? I know his word now. So if I know it and I say I love him, he said, Christ said, if you love me, then you obey me. You do what I say. It's not an option. He is Lord, not just Savior. He is Lord. And Lord means that he has to have full authority and dominion over your life in totality, not partially. He doesn't require partial faith. He requires you to believe fully in all of it. Consider the Lord in all your ways. Like it's either all or nothing.
Do you think it'd be challenging to date you?
Probably. That's just why I'm single. Probably. You're like, let me ask you something. Do you think there is a man that wants to deal with you?
Oh no, I know there are.
No, there isn't. I mean,
I'm talking about no that. Trust me, you speaking that language I like.
Yeah.
And so the reality is that, but have in the experience of it, do you find that guys may be? Well, let me just ask you.
I haven't dated to know, so I don't know, Matarius. I don't know.
How you don't know, Ashley? You ain't talking on the phone. Nobody. Nope. Nobody gonna be sliding your DMs.
Nope. Literally, I'm not. And when I say I'm really not lying, I give people my phone all the time. Like you can see, it's nobody. I'm not lying. There is no one. And then the people that do slide in DM, you know, it's like,
you know what? What you know, Megan Ashley?
It's like you need to maybe get some help and then see what the Lord does with your life. I don't know, but it's nothing like Like there's no substantial, like solid people that are in my DMs. It's okay.
So basically you just don't go on dates or anything.
I ain't been asked.
Nobody
ain't
been trying to hook you up?
No.
Your friends and stuff be like, no. I got the perfect guy.
No.
Do you feel like that's the best way? Is somebody to try to, you know, by referral?
To be honest with you, I don't know, because this is so new for me. Like dating is so new. And then.
Because you got married young. How old were you?
Oh, yeah, I was 20.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah, you wait. Yeah, you.
I was so young. But then it's like now being an adult and not compromising in my faith. Like, this is the, like,
no, no, Christ. Explain what that means when you say not compromising in my faith for all the men that may not know what that means.
I'm just not compromising. Like, I'm like, I talked about it on Valentine's Day. Like, I'm not having sex until I get married. That is, I'm just not.
And that just weeded out a whole lot of people.
No, seriously. He was like, and click. I don't want to talk. I don't even want to look at her no more. She just too much. It's not that deep. But it is, though. And I just can't because I know better.
And I believe I agree with you right there. And so when you said that on Valentine's Day, do you ever get women? Because what people don't know is this. A lot of women. When I took a vow of abstinence in 2020 on my podcast, I've fallen off throughout the times, throughout that season. Throughout the years. Mm-hmm. But my heart posture is still, I want to, you know, wait till marriage to have sex with my wife. But I've had women, surprisingly, that I'll go on a date with that be like, oh, no, we're going to have sex. If I ain't no way I'm going to marry you unless we have sex first.
It's still crazy. I mean, it's not the craziest thing. Yeah. I get it. But it's just like, again, if we love them, it's just the bottom line.
But then they try to get real. So Megan, they'll say, listen, now, okay, I love Jesus. We know all that. But at the end of the day, I can't be married to somebody that I'm not pleased sexually
then
with.
You don't love the Lord. Stop lying. You don't love him.
They say, Megan asked, you can't tell me I don't love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love the Lord. Actually, now, I love the Lord.
I can, because the word says, this is how I can. The word says, if you love me,
you'll keep my commandments.
You keep my commandments. You'll obey me. So if sex is supposed to be saved for marriage, then that is if that's a commandment and that's something that God has required and you're trying to compromise on that, then there is some love that is not there for the Lord. Period.
All right. So then they say this, Megan. They say, listen, well, you know, a lot of men, they struggle with erectile dysfunction at a certain age. So I got to see if that thing works. So I need to be able to test that thing out, something to see, because at the end of the day, I can't be married to somebody and I'm end up cheating. I'm going to end up cheating if I marry somebody and it don't work. He said, Christians, y'all just over it. Y'all not being real. You're not being real. This is a real thing that people are dealing with. Mm-hmm. So why would I sit here and take vows with somebody and I don't even know if they penis even work?
Let me say this. You know what was real?
What's real?
The cross.
Oh, Lord.
And so
told you,
the same power that raised Christ from the dead.
Can raise his penis? That's what you about to say?
Can do anything.
He raised his penis from the dead.
I'm just saying,
right there.
The Lord is the Holy Spirit can help us with anything. Do you know what I'm saying? Whether that man has a dysfunction or not, whether it can ever work out in that way or not, if God called you to that person, then his grace is sufficient. And so if God has called you to that person, then his grace is sufficient for you to wait.
Let me tell you how powerful that is, because it brought back to my remembrance an interview I did in Freeport, Bahamas. That's where it was. And this couple talked about how for the first 5 years of marriage or something, or 7 years, they only had sex like three times because she was dealing with a medical issue and, you know, and it was just so painful or whatnot. And then, and each time she got pregnant, and then while she was pregnant, you know, her medical issue subsided or whatnot. But they had to work through 5 years of that. And now, you know, they're having, you know, an abundant sex life. But and I asked him, I said, did you ever cheat during that moment? He said, no. He said, I thought about it. She even encouraged me to. She was like, man, I know you need to go get this. He was just like, no. He said, I couldn't do it. But God gave him the grace to cover his wife through that moment.
Yeah.
Another situation, same thing where I had the Smiths on, this older couple, the girl, the wife, she goes by Bad Girl Riri 504 and from New Orleans, and she real funny, but she talked about how during their first years of marriage, you know, she was dealing with, you know, issues down there or whatnot, and he was just like, he would just pray. You know, she had a very strong bout of endometriosis. And he would just pray and just suffer through it with her or whatnot. And she was like, I wish he could have just, I want to have sex so bad, because she was very vibrant sexually. Mm-hmm. And she just said that through that season, and that's what we don't understand is when we take these vows, we take these vows through sickness and in health and don't realize that a lot of us just really don't want to sign up for that.
Yeah. And too, I think a lot of times we're just not aware how selfish we are. You know what I mean? Like, is this about you or is this marriage to glorify the Lord? Like, who is it about? You know what I'm saying? And I get it. Like, you want to and I believe that God wants us to have fun in our marriage. I believe he wants us to have, you know, abundance in all the ways, you know, but I think that marriage is a union that glorifies the Lord. And what does that look like?
I was going to ask you that. What does that look like for you?
I mean, I think like...
Let me ask you, did your past marriage glorify God?
I would say not totally. I think that...
Not in totality.
Not in totality. I think there might have been times that maybe in the beginning... You know, I don't know. When life just gets so busy, you know what I'm saying? And when you have babies that are young, just life happens. Yeah. And before you know it, 5 years have gone by and you're like, oh my gosh, like, how did we get here? But not, especially not towards the end, though. And I just believe that that's important. I believe that your marriage should glorify the Lord. I feel like it's a sacred union that glorifies him. So,
and when you, and maybe you haven't even gotten the framework mentally from what that looks like for you in your next marriage, do you have any type of reference in your mind where you say, this is what I'm talking about, that glorify God? Does that mean that we have to be preachers and we travel around the world and preach the good news?
Or
how does your marriage glorify God?
I think it's like, you know how, God, I don't know who said it in the Bible, but knowing God and the power of his resurrection and his suffering.
Yeah.
I think it's that, like, it's the good and the bad, and learning how to navigate and endure all of the things in love, all of the things that comes with a marriage. It's just enduring it all and being committed, an unwavering commitment, even when things are hard, because marriage is difficult. You know, it looks easy nowadays on social media, but like, it's challenging. Like, this is the person that's going to bring out the ugliest parts of you.
Yes.
And it's going to show you the ugliest parts of them.
Yes.
And so if you don't have Christ at the center of that, I don't know how people make it and are healthy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, healthy, not existing, but healthy. I don't know how people do it.
When you look back over your marriage, do you think there were some things you could have done to save it?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I mean, like, everybody has a part to play. Absolutely.
Well, but sometimes people just feel like they may have just married the wrong person altogether.
I mean,
and they just try to make it work.
And maybe sometimes that is the case. But I think that, you know, I think divorce grieves the Lord. I think it hurts his heart. And so I think that if we're, you know, not mindful of, again, keeping him at the center and including him in all things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just even in the practical ways of like, Lord, this man just really upset me.
Yep.
Before I even respond to him, help me. Help me so that I can be effective in my communication, so that you're glorified, even though we're in this disagreement. Lord, my prayer is that you be glorified in this. I pray, God, that you give me eyes to see him the way that you see him, so that I have grace and empathy and compassion for whatever he might be dealing with. Like, are we
Hold on, Megan Ashley, you said that's the mindset that you have now?
Or? Yes, absolutely. I think that this life isn't about us. I don't believe it's about us. I believe that it's about the Lord. And so when things happen in relationships, especially marriage, because marriage is supposed to be the example of Christ's love, like Christ and his bride, right? So it's supposed to show that dynamic. And so I just don't believe that I'm in a marriage to benefit me. And I did not know that. Before, I was in that marriage because I wanted a husband. I wanted the family structure. I wanted you know what I mean? Like, it was me. But did I get into this to glorify the Lord, to be an example of
of the church and this relationship between Christ and the church? Like, did I have like an intentional mind frame in going into this marriage? Am I showing, do I want to have like a kingdom mindset in my marriage? Like to advance the kingdom of God in my marriage.
So Megan, let me ask you this. So you feel that in a point of anger, you could take on that heart posture that you just articulated?
Now, because I have the Lord in my life, yes. But before, no. Before, it would be bet, 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 at bet, F you too, and bet. I mean, yes, without the Lord, that is my heart posture. But oh, with the Lord, because when you do something to somebody else, we think that that's separate than doing it to the Lord.
Oh God, that's good.
Do you see what I'm saying? Ooh, like Lord Jesus. My disrespect towards my spouse is a dishonor towards the Lord. Like I'm not just offending my spouse. I'm offending the Lord.
But where did this come from? Like
the Bible? Are y'all reading?
No, I'm talking about how you just transitioned that quick in less than a year.
God can do a work in your heart. Like when you surrender your life to Him, He can really do a work in your heart and change some things. Like you know what I'm saying? Like
but I don't think
really
you hear
can.
How you sound. You don't hear what you. Like that, it sounds like you done went through a master class, a metamorphosis, an awakening with God, an encounter.
I feel like I did. I feel like it's an everyday ongoing process because I'm so, it sounds so like cliche and corny, but I really am in love with the Lord and I love reading His word and I love getting to know Him and because His way is just better. You know what I mean? Like His way is just better than my way. I've tried all the other ways and I don't want to waste another year of my life not doing it His way because His way is always better. It's always better. He's never failed. His track record is immaculate. So I just rather do it His way. So if that means I have to humble myself when I'm angry, yes, I'm making that about me. Lord, okay, help me. I'm angry. I'm not going to deny that I'm angry. I'm angry. Help me though. Help me.
I would love to know what that feels like to experience a woman like that. Like literally, like a woman that can sit there. Ain't that right, King? Like that's a
not ain't that right, King.
Yeah, I gotta talk to my boy over there.
Jason, I need a man. Yeah. Forget you.
Yeah, because you understand what I'm talking about. Like he know what I'm talking about. That be sounding too good to be true, don't Jay? She ain't lied to you yet. Let me tell you something. That's a different level.
I mean, but it takes work. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not perfect at it. That's where my heart and my intention is.
That's what I'm saying.
Is,
but I'm talking about to even be self-conscious and aware.
Yeah.
To think of that ahead of time.
I've offended the Lord enough. I've offended Him enough and I've hurt enough people by my heart not being close to the Lord. I don't want to live that way anymore. You know what I mean? And we feel like we have all the time. We wake up with arrogance and pride and thinking that we have tomorrow guaranteed to us. And we don't. We don't. So I'm going to spend every day of my life as best I can intentionally living for the Lord, even in my thinking, in my responses, in my offense, in my unforgiveness, in my job, in my kid, as a mother, as a friend, I'm going to consider the Lord. Period. We don't have the time. And everybody can play around and act like you have all the time in the world because you have preachers that are telling you you're going to be a millionaire this year and a billionaire this year. And that's not the truth. The Bible says we don't know the time nor the hour. Tomorrow is not promised. Period. And so time is up on being soft in this approach to how we live for Christ. It's time up. And then we wonder why our relationships are so messed up. And we wonder why our platonic relationships are so jacked up. And we wonder why I have anxiety and I'm depressed and I'm this and I'm that. Are we really taking our relationship with the Lord serious? Do we love Him or do we not? Bottom line. And everybody has to get to that place on their own. I'm not saying everybody has to, you know, this is my conviction. This is based off of what I know about the Lord. Not saying that everybody has to, you got to come to that on your own. But as for me, right? In my house, what I do, where I'm at.
Praise the Lord.
All the time.
You touched just quickly on like mental illness and you've been very open and honest and vulnerable about your journey of suicide ideation, suicide attempts. How have you been? Well, matter of fact, just share that with the people that don't know. What has been your journey with mental illness?
I think I told you since I was about 16, I struggled really bad with depression and suicide. So at that time, both sets of my parents, so my mother and my stepfather and my father and my stepmother were getting divorced at the same time. The same exact time around I think they were like a month or two apart from each other. So life was just like, and I'm 16. And so I don't know if anybody knows, but like scientific facts show that girls at the age of 16 are like mentally, what was it, Jordan? Like they're mentally clinically insane. They're clinically described as insane because of their hormones are so, our hormones are so crazy and we're growing. So
that's what was wrong with my daughter around that age.
Imagine being 16 and going through both of your parents getting into divorce. You know, it was hard for me and feeling like, you know, I felt like at the time my parents were so focused on their divorces that I was just a casualty and they weren't really focused on the effect that it had on me, which I totally have grace and empathy for because they're human, right? So like I'm going through it right now, so I get it. You know what I mean? So I have grace and empathy for my parents and I know that they, you know, especially my mom, like she did what she could. She did her best. But I just felt like I kind of got caught in the crosshairs of all of those things. And I just fell into, you know, cutting and depression and just wanting to die and even I tried to take a bunch of pills and the Lord was like, girl, you know, and I woke up and I was like, so embarrassing. Like,
I can't kill myself right.
Right. Like, that's embarrassing to wake up after trying. Like, I hated that feeling, you know. It was like, girl, stop. You have to live and do this work. So I love you. Get over it, you know. So, yeah.
I love you.
But I mean, I struggled for a long time up until about 2022 the end of 2021 was the last time that I was physically like harmful to myself. And I believe that the Lord has delivered me from suicide and depression. Like I don't have those thoughts and feelings. I don't even remember the last time I had like a thought like that. So
how'd you cast down that imagination?
The word of the Lord.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
They had you on medication around that time?
So in 2019, I was diagnosed with bipolar depression. That's when I started to get on, try different medications. And so, and that, it's so hard because you have to try it for at least 3 months. And they don't know
how
you're going to respond to it. And so I tried 4 different medications and had 4 different reactions to all, and they were horrible. Either one was like massive headaches or one was like, I couldn't sleep, or the other one was I slept too much. Yep. Or the other one was like no physical, like my body in certain places would just be numb. Like I couldn't feel anything. So it was just weird. And it wasn't for me. I was becoming like.
Your body in certain places would feel numb?
Yeah, like certain places Armani, my body would
probably,
just be
that's
numb.
Probably the problem, huh? You said that you would have problems with your body and
certain parts would just, I wouldn't have any sensation to it. In certain places. So, yeah, it's like you really do your research and really like.
But they're always testing it. They be like, we'll try this.
Yeah.
We'll try this dosage. Let's do 10 milligrams of this. Well, let's do 5. Let's do 20.
The Holy Spirit, you need to ask for wisdom and discernment when it comes to that. Like, get a doctor, I advocate for mental health. So like get a doctor, get a therapist. I advocate for that, but you need the Holy Spirit to help you to know like, okay, Lord, help me in deciding what medications, help lead me into the right research to look up, like all of those things. Cause the Holy Spirit will help you.
Yeah.
And then make it a practice to know your word. And to like the Bible tells us that we can cast down imaginations, anything that tries to exalt itself above the Lord, like we can cast those things down. And so, but you only can do that knowing his word.
Yeah.
And so I encourage anybody who is struggling in their mental health, like the Lord cares about your mental health. Don't let anybody tell you that the Lord doesn't care about your mental health, that he doesn't, like he's empathetic to us, right? We serve a Lord who empathizes with us. That's what the Bible says. He empathizes with us. So ask him for help in stewarding how you navigate through your mental health, whatever it is, whether it's medication, therapy, whatever. Include the Lord into that. Don't disclude him from that process.
You done been through some things. Megan, you done been through some things.
It's crazy, right?
And every time it goes right back to the word of God fighting that stuff off.
Yeah.
The word of God.
That's it.
You said the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yep, that's what the word says.
And you said crystals can't do it.
Crystals can't cut through that. I'm sorry. They can't. Sage can't cut through it. I know you want it to. It ain't doing nothing but making your house smell. That's it. Your house just smells like stuff. I get it, though. Listen, y'all. I was saging crystals. I was charging crystals. I was doing all tuning forks. I was doing all that mess.
Tuning forks? What's that?
It's like, I don't know. Vibrations? I don't know. I was doing all that. All of it.
Did you see it work a little bit?
No. I did not. I told you I had hot rocks and a smoky room. It's fine.
Mega.
I get it.
Smoky room.
Yeah, and hot rocks from charging them in the sun. That was hot. Hot rocks and
your house smelled like sage.
Oh, yeah. Sage and rosemary, sage and lavender, just walking around talking about she called it robo. She is like, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Talk about in the name of Jesus. What? What are you talking about? Put those herbs away. Please. And
put in some food.
But yes, if you don't go make a pot roast and sit down. Lord have mercy. Crush that lavender and get yourself some oil.
And take a bath.
Girl, I know the Holy Spirit was like, oh, here she go with them rocks. It ain't going to do nothing.
What did you say, charge them in the sun?
Hot rocks. Hot crystals. That's it. I'm telling you, the word of God, that's all you need. I'm telling y'all, just read the word.
And so you are rooted and grounded in the word of God.
I didn't take one crystal, one sage, one rock, one nothing to my new home. And I have had the peace of God is in my home.
Yes.
Every person that comes in my house says, I can feel God's presence. Ooh, in this house.
That's the biggest compliment
you can ever get. Oh, the pit. So when Amanda and MJ came, she was like, when I got off the plane in Atlanta, I could feel the darkness, like the principality.
Yes, I told you, Atlanta's a dark city.
She was like, when I walked in your house, it was like breathing fresh air. She was like, I could sense that God has been here. And that's the, and I'm telling you, and I did all without a rock, without a sage, without anything. The presence of God is in my home because I make room for him.
Teach.
Do you see what I'm saying? I let him have full, like you can inhabit all of this space. I'm not saying, Lord, you can have this space and sage, you can have this space and rocks, you can have this space and sound bowls, you can have this place. No, this place belongs to the Lord. He can inhabit all of it, not some of it, all of it. So yeah, that's it. I don't have to have no sage or none of that. And I like that. You know, I really like my bowls. I thought they were so nice and lovely. I do it. I don't use them. I haven't thrown them away because they're so pretty, you know. But I don't use them anymore.
You use it to bake cakes in.
Right. This is decorations.
Decoration.
Yeah.
Let me.
That's it.
That's it.
Y'all, please stop saging and crystal in your home. Sorry.
Man, people be in so many arguments about that. I'm telling you, sage be working. You got it. You got to open the windows up. You just get the sage, and I'd be like,
listen. all right.
I'd be like, okay. But we've adopted these principles in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
We literally, and you'll see it, and you find yourself trying to debate with fellow Christians about stuff that is witchcraft. Yeah,
and I think that's the thing that I, like, if you ain't saved, do your thing.
Exactly.
Grab your sage and your crystal. Like, I have no expectations, or you have no, like, okay, yeah. That's your, you don't, but for those who say they believe in Christ,
there it is.
I'm just saying the same power that resurrected him, that resurrected Christ from the dead, is the same power that lives in us. So we have all we need.
100%.
When we have the Holy Spirit, we have all we need. Like, he left us his spirit to help us. He didn't leave us rocks and sage. He didn't. They was not in that upper room with rocks and sage. I can guarantee y'all he weren't. I can promise you they were not.
She said they were in the upper room.
They said they devoted themselves to prayer and the teaching of the apostles.
Teach.
Not anything else.
Teach.
That's it.
Teach. So. Teach. This is gonna be interesting. This relationship journey that you know, this love journey is gonna be interesting, because you have to have a man that's solely rooted in the Bible.
Yeah.
He can't be some typical church goer.
Yeah.
Somebody just attend church because he's trying to appease you.
Yeah.
You know, because you're going to be able to identify
quickly.
Real quickly.
Quickly.
You're like, oh, counterfeit. Bye.
I mean, get
behind me, Satan.
Gone. Beat it. I do not have time for that, because truly I do believe that marriage is supposed to glorify the Lord.
Yeah.
So if it's not going to be that, like, then if it's not that, then no.
Yeah.
Like, it's.
No matter how far it is.
Nah.
No matter how much money you got.
No. I ain't, that's not appeasing to me at all.
Which was surprising to me. You were just like, you just don't. Now, I know you saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, evidence of speaking in tongues and all that good stuff. But you tell me you don't care the financial status of a guy.
I'm saying it's not my focus.
But do you care? If you met a guy that was tongue-talking believer, your kids have become his own. He looks at it like this and all that. And he's like, I cover you. He prays over you. He washes you with the water of the word and all that. And let's say he's making $50,000 a year.
If that's what the Lord has called him to do, then that's totally fine. Because I'm not in the marriage for that. You know what I'm saying? And I do also believe that any man that is rooted in the Lord is doing what God has called him to do. And I believe that the Lord will provide all his needs. I believe that. So for me, it's like, it really don't matter. Like, the man that I know that I will marry, because it'll either be that or I won't marry, which I'm cool with too. But he will be a man that loves the Lord and allows the Lord to lead him in all that he does. And so even in his job, whatever that is, I believe that he will be doing what God has called him to do. And when you do what God calls you to do, he supplies all of our needs.
I wish this is the narrative that's spoken about on social media, is being in purpose.
Yeah.
Because we always make purpose finances, and I keep saying these people get it wrong. They get it so wrong, because I remember in seasons where I wasn't. Oh, I'll tell you this. I was talking to a couple in Jamaica, beautiful couple that was on the podcast, and they were talking about in the seasons when they made the least amount of money, they were the happiest from a marital couple. As a couple, they spent more time together.
Yeah.
Their kids were thriving. Like, they were the happiest.
Yeah.
And then what happened was he went to go chase money, got him a job, and they were separated. Like, he was working in Kingston and making more money, news broadcast, doing all this type of stuff, working for a news station, and wasn't spending time with his family. Family was falling apart. Kids didn't even know him when he came home, but was making more money.
Yeah,
and he felt the Holy Spirit tell him, save your family, leave this job alone.
Mm.
He left the job. People called him stupid. You know, they like, what is wrong with you? You making all this money now. You finna go and go try to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally trying to figure how you gonna pay your bills and you gonna leave your job. That don't even make sense.
Yeah.
He said people called him stupid. People called him crazy. People laughed at him. And he said, and in that decision, he was able to save his marriage. He said, money don't mean nothing to me.
Yeah, because the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of the Lord and all his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you.
All these things shall be added.
Like, so I think that's what I'm saying. Whoever I marry next, he will be a man that seeks the kingdom of God first.
But you said something else that I don't think a lot of people, and I don't know if you really believe what you said. You said that you would be happy if you never got married again.
Yeah, I'll be content.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because.
Don't you talk about the Lord and the Lord going to be my husband.
No, I'm not the Lord going to be my husband. The Lord cannot be your husband, y'all. Please stop that. He is not your husband. I mean, I guess with the bride in the church, whatever.
Yeah. But you'll be content. You'll be content.
Yeah.
Content. Never marrying. And you're
because
young.
Because this life is so short. It's a vapor. You know what I'm saying? Like we're not, we're here not to, we're here for a reason and a purpose. And it's to prepare us for eternity.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like in eternity, our focus isn't going to be our spouse, isn't going to be our children, isn't going to be our jobs, isn't going to be our influence, isn't going to be like our focus is going to be on the Lord. We're worshiping the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. So my life and my job now is to be in preparation of that. I am going to sit in eternity and worship him forever, forever. And so I need to be preparing now to worship him forever. Like now I worship him all the time.
You really believe this?
Yes. My life ain't about to be. The focus is on the Lord in eternity, not your marriage.
And so
I'm cool if it doesn't happen because I want what God wants for me. If that's his will, then cool. Like his way is just better than my way. I don't know.
But even on this earth, companionship, having somebody hold hands with, go to the movies with, sit around and share and talk about your podcast in totality with and talk about, hey, I just got this brand deal with. You just saying that you so rooted and grounded in Jesus that you would just be content never having that and watching that be displayed through your friends' lives, going to weddings, watching everybody else take nuptials and vows, watching everybody else build legacy together. And your legacy is I experienced a broken home. I watched my parents go through broken marriages. I watched myself go through a broken marriage, and I never had what I just articulated so beautifully, this kingdom marriage and a marriage that glorifies God, that they will throw dust on and dirt on my grave and never experience that. You are content with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
I mean,
that is freaking amazing.
That is my intent and my heart posture. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, am I going to feel things? I'm human.
Of course.
Am I going to be at a wedding and that feeling might come where it's like, dang, man, I wish I, but when I make it an intentional effort every day to posture my heart in the direction of the Lord, then he becomes more and more of my go-to and more of my focus. So that when I see people get married, I'm genuinely happy for them because that's what the Lord has for them. And I want whatever the Lord has for me. Do you know what I mean?
Let me tell you something. And that's why you're going to have the marriage that you desire.
I pray.
See, it's the truth because I understand heart posture. You said, I challenge you in this for a reason because what they've always found, and you'll see it, it's the one that knows how to base and how to abound. The one that knows how to say, God, if this is for me, thank you. Mm-hmm. But if not, thank you. Then God says, you're worthy. I'm going to give you the desires of your heart and I'm going to blow your mind.
Yeah.
That heart posture, because I hear people say it sometimes and I'll be like, you know, you don't really believe that, but you really believe that. Like you really, I heard it.
Yeah.
Believe that. And I'm telling you, as sure as I'm sitting on this podcast, you're going to have exactly that.
I pray.
Because you're submitted.
Yeah.
And you're surrendered. What God performs his best is with a surrendered heart because he says, oh,
yeah,
so I can do whatever I want to with you. Good.
Yeah.
And in the words of Megan Ashley, bet.
Bet.
But he's going to take what you do.
Yeah.
He's going to take the desires of your heart. He says, now I have fertile ground to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I have submitted hearts that says, not my will, but let thy will be done. And that's when God makes a miracle happen.
Yeah. I think that's important to have that heart posture. I'm human, so
of course you're gonna have needs. You're gonna feel whatever you're gonna feel.
I'm not gonna have a perfect response all the time, but that is where I'm posturing my heart every single day. That's where, like, when I go to the Lord, I'm constantly asking him, Father, examine my heart, try my ways, test me. I want to be like you. And so in any way possible, if I'm doing anything, Father, that is not pleasing to you, if my heart is being selfish in any way, help me, because I want to be like him. I really do. And I don't want to compromise in that. Not relationally, I don't want to compromise. Professionally, I don't want to compromise. I don't want to compromise in that. His way is just better.
You a wife.
Thank you.
You know what? It's like, I talk about that on my podcast. I say, there's a sound of a wife. And it hit me one day. I was doing an interview with this couple, Siobhan and Cheyenne, and she was speaking, and I just heard the essence of wife just as she was talking, and they were just sitting there talking about their journey and how he lost his wife or whatever, the wife passed away. And then I was hearing how she was covering him in the process, and tears just literally start streaming down my face. She said, what's wrong? What's wrong? And I said, I will not compromise having a woman of God. I just started crying. She said, well, baby, you don't have to.
You don't have to. It's okay.
You don't have to, baby. That's hilarious. I said, I would not compromise having a woman of God. And the reason why that was so poignant for me in that moment is because I was listening to, you know, different people saying, maybe your expectations too high. Like, you want a woman that's going to be laying hands and praying and this type of stuff. You want a woman that live it. And I'd be like, hey, am I tripping? You know, are these standards and preferences I have, is that too much? Because it's literally rooted in biblical truths.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, maybe. So then this is one girl that I was dating at the time, was a friend that I had, and wasn't no alignment whatsoever. Mm. But I was just like, well, we cool. So let me just.
It works.
Yeah. Let me just see if, you know, if this could possibly be anything.
And we think we can change, like influence people to, oh, like we have chemistry in these areas. And then so maybe I can influence them to be. And it's like, look, y'all, I'm telling you.
And that's exactly what I did. I said, well, I mean, I can influence her and I can tell this. And she don't really read the Bible. She don't really go to church like that. She don't really talk about God like that. She don't really have any.
But she's a good person.
A good person. And she's an honest person. Yeah. She's going to always be real with you. And we got a solid friendship. So let me try.
Yeah.
I did that for about 2 months. I said, what am I doing? I said, I'm trying too hard. It ain't supposed to be this difficult.
Yeah.
And then one day she said, that's not who I am. She said, I'm not into all that God stuff like that. And I was just like.
So what did you do?
I said. I said, well, I'm trying hard.
Ooh, you were disappointed.
Oh, disappointed. Said, I was just like, man. I said, she's so fine. I said, if you could just be saved, you'd be a fine Christian.
Do you love him at all?
Do you love a little bit?
Just a little bit? Just a little. He said a mustard seed. Do you have that?
Do you have a little bit of that?
She said, I don't listen. Ain't for me.
I would talk to her about the podcast. I'd be like, say, did you watch the last episode? She said, I don't like hearing all. They just be talking about stuff that I don't really care about.
He's like, but it's my podcast.
It's my podcast.
It's my podcast. Yeah, she didn't like you.
She said she just didn't like nothing that I like that.
She didn't like you. And that's what we be thinking that, oh, we just don't like it. No, y'all don't like each other. You don't really like each other.
And then the crazy thing about it, we be having a solid friendship. And so it's like we cool and this and we, exactly.
Just be friends.
And she was like, well, and then she'll say stuff like, I wish I could have a guy like you, but it's just that you just too deep.
Oh, Lord. I get that all the time. It's too deep or you're too deep. It's like, well.
I said, well.
And that's why I said I'm content.
Yes.
Like, if it don't, like, then cool. Because I know that who God is continuing to shape me to be, I'm submitted to that.
Yeah.
And I'm not about to change who I am.
Due to some
just
dude.
To have companionship.
Yeah.
When I have the ultimate companion all the time. You know what I mean? Like, I have the Holy Spirit that lives within me. Like, I'm good. I am content with that. You know what I mean? That is enough. He is Lord.
I'm about to say, have you ever tried to fashion a guy into the person you wanted them to be, but you got married so young that.
Yeah. I mean, with me and my ex-husband, and we were so young that by the time halfway through our marriage, I'm sure there were many times where he looked at me and was like, I don't even like you. I don't even like you. Like, you're repulsive to me. I'm sure he did. And I know I had moments where I'm like, I don't like you.
Do you feel like, what people say, people grew apart?
Yeah,
because, or is just a lot of resentment sets in, I mean, and no one all is forgiven? Of that.
I think resentment comes in, but I think you know, women, we grow often. Mm-hmm. Like, we change often.
Yeah.
And for men, y'all really don't change like that. You know, y'all kind of do the same thing y'all been doing since y'all was 9. It's just bigger. You're just a bigger person.
But you're doing still the same thing you did. Thing.
You know, but women, it's like we're so, you know, we're so emotional and we think differently and we change. And one day we like red and then the next day we hate red. And then, you know, so we change. And I think that a man, this is why a man has to know the Lord and he has to seek the Lord on behalf of his wife or behalf of the woman that he's pursuing. Because you need a manual when that thing starts changing and shifting and she start, you know what I'm saying? You need a manual. You need a guide. Because on the one that created her.
Mm.
And I think if we're not mindful and intentional at keeping God as a focus and saying, okay, Lord, like I am forever, like I think we need to be forever curious about the person that we're with.
Forever curious.
Like we just need to forever be curious. Like familiarity breeds contempt. Don't be too familiar. Don't feel that you got this person figured out and this is a treasure that you have and you should be excited about it every single day. You should be trying to learn more about this person every single day. It should be like an effort to learn this person every day. You know what I mean? And then when you make that effort, then you're not growing apart. You're growing together. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Well, that doggone Megan has to be talking that good talk, boy. I'm telling you, boy. Good Lord. See, my boy over there, he agree. He agree.
Well,
she
be we're talking around each other all the time. Yeah, so
but,
not
but
like...
he still ain't got, he still ain't normalized because he be out here in these dating streets, so he hear a different type of language out here.
Yeah.
Am I right or am I right? I know I'm right.
Am I right or am I right? You ain't got to answer that. I'm right.
You ain't got to answer that. Sure. I'm right. Because it's a different language out there that you don't know that men get a chance to experience out there.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're speaking a different language.
Yeah.
It's a different thought process.
It's a different language because we're not focused on teaching the word of God. Like it's really not a different language. It's biblical. It's the same Bible.
So we so far away from the word
of
God.
Oh, we're so far away from the word. We're so far away. And too, because I'm always coming from a Christian perspective, right? From a Christ perspective, because that's who I believe in and that's who I live my life for. So when we have a bunch of teaching and preaching that is about self, then we have a bunch of relationships that are about self.
Megan Ashley, did you just say what you said when you said what you said and how you said it?
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, like, because that just illuminated in my mind
when we are being taught that our most valuable relationship is about you, your most important relationship is about you, then how else are we going to approach other relationships? When your relationship with the Lord is about you, when you're taught that that your relationship with the Lord is about you and what you can get from him and not for who he is and what he's done. And you know what I'm saying? Like it's about you. So of course we're getting into relationships for us, selfishly motivated. We don't even approach our relationship with the Lord selflessly. We're selfish and prideful. And that's why we see the relationship statuses that we see now. So there's that.
This girl done enslaved me in the spirit.
It's just
that truth. Right there just hit. That's that hit.
The Bible gives you so much context on how to deal with every relationship. So this ain't new language. The Bible has context for everything. You just choose to read it and obey it or you don't. And I wish people would just be more honest in saying, I actually don't love the Lord and I don't believe his word. So just say that.
Well, Megan ain't going to say that. They just not going to be heathens out here and agnostic. And
they are atheist. Though, but they are. They are. They are. They absolutely are. So just because you're not saying that's not what you identify with, but your actions identify with that. You ain't no repentance, no holiness. It's just self. Your next million.
Megan Ashley, you started something. You stepping on some toes
I'm
right
not.
Now.
I'm not.
You are. You stepping on toes. You're offending people.
Well, I'm sorry. My intention is not to offend. It really isn't. I really just believe that that's the truth, though. I believe, not in every church, and it's not every pastor, so let me be very clear. It is not, because I go to a wonderful church.
What church you go to?
2819 in Atlanta. Pastor Phil Mitchell. But it's, you know, so it's not every church, and there are amazing churches in Atlanta too, different churches that are great. But I think that we're seeing that, like, that is just the truth of the matter.
No, you tell the truth now.
A bunch of people that are in pulpits, that are leaders, that are shepherds, who are saying things that are contrary to God's word. Period.
You own it.
And if we are not doing our own due diligence and knowing and seeking the Lord for ourselves, then we are going to be ignorant of it when it's preached on a platform. We're just going to be saying amen to stuff that don't even be in you. What are you? Don't even know what you amen in. Did you check? Or you just believe? Oh, because he's up there, so you just believe that what he said was right. We have people who get in pulpits and don't even open up the Word of God.
They're just motivational speakers.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, we have to see that that plays effect in our relationships. Your relationship with God is your most important relationship.
Yep, the vertical relationship.
It's so important. And so if we're approaching that selfishly, then we're going to approach other relationships selfishly, period. Mm. We're always looking for what we can get out of it. Well, if it ain't serving me, that's right. If it ain't serving me.
That's the language.
I'm done with things that don't serve me. What?
That is so
imagine
true.
If Christ said that. Could you imagine? I ain't do it. Uh-uh. Not if it ain't serving me. I ain't get on that cross. Could you imagine? And that's how we talk now. Yeah, if it ain't serving me.
If it ain't serving me.
But the Bible says that he came to serve. Yeah. Like Christ came to serve.
Yeah.
He didn't come to be served, but he came to serve. And so when we say that we are Christ followers, and we say that when we're taking on the identity of Christ, then we have to be servants, even in relationships that don't serve us sometimes. Like sometimes that's the reality in marriage. Sometimes it ain't always 50-50. There might be a season where your spouse can only provide 20%.
Yep.
So what you gonna say? All right.
I'm done.
I'm done.
It's no longer serving
this
me.
This ain't serving me. What? Do your children serve you?
We don't give up
our relationship with our children, right?
Bow down, son. Yeah.
We don't stop loving them and providing for them.
Exactly.
And being there for them when they're hurt and when they're sick.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that if we are not, you know, we got to be mindful to the stuff that we're digesting every day. And if you just digesting all this talking that is about what you can get out of your relationship with the Lord, what you can get from him, what he will do for you, and not just for who he is, not just for how you can serve him, then I don't know how we expect our relationships to be in any other status than what they are now.
Wow. Absolutely amazing. Megan.
Sorry. I know. No,
you didn't exhaust me. You got me fooled. This is what happens when you get fooled. You get sleepy. So what projects do you have coming up? I'm telling everybody, make sure you go subscribe to her her podcast in totality. Yeah. What else you got going on?
I don't have any projects outside of Patreon, like doing the docuseries.
Yeah,
it's my vlog.
Tell people to need to go ahead and join her Patreon.
We have a book club.
You have a book club.
We have a book club that we go through a book every quarter, and we do live Zooms every Thursday where we talk about the book. I am going to start a kind of second tier to my Patreon where it's going to be more about Bible studies and discipleships and doing some stuff like that. I don't know when, but yeah, that's it. Just the podcast, subscribe.
So what link should I put in the description that has all things Megan Ashley?
So my website is www.themeganashley.com and everything is on there. YouTube, all the things.
I'm going to put a link there.
Yeah.
Go ahead, go follow her, go subscribe to the podcast, go join her community. Great content. I've checked it out. I love the visuals that you display. I love the, as you're taking people intimately into your space or whatnot and just showing them the world of Megan Ashley. When I told people that I was going to have you on the podcast, a lot of people was like, I just love her.
Aww.
I just love her.
That's nice.
But one thing you didn't do that disappointed that they'll be disappointed is that you didn't start crying. Because they said you cry, you'll start crying.
You cry a lot.
So I feel like feel like you robbed me because you should start crying. So cry right now. Cry. Okay. Start crying. And tears. But so when you say you cry a lot, you believe you cry a lot too?
Mm-hmm. I used to be like a closet crier. And I would cry mainly because I was like in pain and I was sad. But now I cry all the time, like cry more happy tears than anything. Like I really be like the joy of the Lord really be overtaking me. I really would just be like, wow, Lord, like you are really good. And it brings me to tears sometimes when you think about it, like how good he's been. So yeah, I cry a lot. I'm always crying.
Well, that's good that you're emotional, that you're, and a lot of people don't know is that there'll be seasons where, like, even with me, when I'm on my podcast, I'll be like, I'll have these moments where I'll get teary eyed or whatnot. Mm-hmm. They be like, you're an emotional man or whatever. And I said, well, shoot, you better. Now, the other side, I was running around shooting at people when I was growing up. You better be happy I'm shedding some tears.
Listen.
Like I've opened my heart. And the more you become a worshiper, the more that you become very vulnerable and present and intimate and be able to share intimate conversations with somebody and be present and hear the heart of people.
Yeah.
And so the reason why I'm able to flow the way I flow, whether I'm talking to a homeless person, and my son and I, we out doing something with the homeless or whatnot, is because I have a deep compassion for humanity.
Yeah.
And so I can't sit back and just not feel what they're going through.
Yeah.
You know, that I just get emotional.
Yeah.
And I don't apologize for that.
That's good.
Yeah,
we need more. That's you leading by example, because we need more men that are afraid of being vulnerable in that way. You
100%.
Know what I'm saying? So I think that's beautiful.
100%. And I teach my sons the same way. It's like when my sons go through something and they be trying to be tough or whatever, I say, man, cry. Like, let that out.
Don't hold it.
Yeah, because you see too many men dying from heart attack or whatnot.
Yeah.
Because they've been holding in years and years of trauma, and they just too tough to just shed a tear.
Yeah.
You know, and then they self-medicate in all the improper ways instead of saying, get your good old cry.
Yeah.
Get a nice little cleansing, get up, dust your knees off and say, hey, I'm finna grind and I'm finna go back at it again.
Yep.
But it's so many men that have turned their hearts off to love because a lot of them haven't been honest that they gave their love to the wrong person who mismanaged it. And now they like, these H's ain't loyal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like the Usher song or whatever. And it's like, you start ideating with that mentality and now you're not trusting nobody.
Yeah.
You're not trusting anybody with your heart.
Yeah.
Or the video that went viral where they asked Shaq, you know, can you...
That really broke my heart, man.
Because a lot
of people
looked up to him.
I didn't even watch the whole thing, but I saw a little bit of it and I was just like, man.
He said, you can never trust a woman with your secrets.
Wow.
And it's so many men. And if you read those comments, majority of men said you can't. They'll use it against you.
And what I would say for that is... for women, because I know a lot of times women will be like defensive and be like, they just hurt or da 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 da. I think that that's an opportunity to pray and say, Lord, prepare me and help me steward a man's heart. If I am able to have a man's heart and you bring that person into my life, help me be able to steward his heart well. Help me in my responses so that I'm not hurting his heart and causing him to turn cold, or you know what I'm saying? Like, I just think that it's an area to be aware and pray, not to criticize and condemn. I think that we just need to be aware and pray.
So you see, y'all hear this wife talking. That's wife talk right there. That's wife talk right there.
I think it's just
I ain't a believer. Well, no, because a whole lot of believers, don't get me started. There's a whole lot of believing women that don't know how to be wives.
Yeah, I think it's just an area to, like, when we see a common theme in that, like if you see a bunch of men in comments, they're not lying.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, they're not lying. Because I know I have a mouth. I have a mouth. And so I know I could say something that will cut. You know what I'm saying? And so that's why you have to really ask God for the right heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So sometimes we be saying stuff and be like, I was just mad. No, that's what you believed. That came out of your mouth. That means you believe that somewhere. That's evidence of something in your heart.
So
we just have to pray
for the
right heart.
So basically saying your husband could have been one of the men in the comments that said, I agree on this.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm very intentional about my words. So I know I have hurt him, but I don't think I've hurt him with my words. Like, I don't think I have said something like, I think the only bad thing, the name calling that I've said to him, I called him a coward. And that was like towards the end of our marriage. And that was like really heated. But like, I don't think I've ever called him.
So the worst thing he said was coward. You didn't call him no B.A. nigga?
No. Or like using like something so vulnerable against them. Yeah. I just think that I don't like when nobody does that. And I've had that happen to me. And I hate when people do that. Like you share something vulnerable with somebody.
And that's
somebody.
What Shaq was talking about.
Yeah, and then they use it. I mean, but it's not just with men and women. It's with women and women.
Of course.
It's with friendships. Like girls, you friends with somebody. And then the second y'all fall out, then you go in and telling all of her business to somebody else. That ain't right.
Yeah.
And women, men do it with, like men do it too. I think it's a humanity thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I just think that we got to be mindful.
Oh boy, listen, I can talk to Megan Ashley all day because she's just a wealth of knowledge and I love the growth that you have displayed because like I said, don't know what you used to be, amen, but what presents itself in front of me right now is the woman that walks in accountability, vulnerability, healing, and intentionality on knowing how to use your words to edify and not destroy.
Yeah.
So make sure that y'all go to the link in the description and follow her on all social media sites and join her Patreon as well as subscribe.
Yes.
Subscribe to her YouTube channel. Listen.
I'm trying to get this. I'm almost there.
Yeah,
because
you're almost there. What you at right now?
Like almost close to 80.
Yeah. So we're going to go and help her get to that 100K. 100K by this episode going to drop end of March. So yeah, we're going to get her to 100K.
Yay.
So listen, make sure y'all go ahead and support. Make it do what it do. That'll be an amazing testimony in just less than a year for her to be able to hit 100K subscribers. So let's make it happen, Lit Fam. Hey, y'all give it up for my homie, Megan Ashley, y'all.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Man, you've been gem dropper. Thank you.
Thank you.
Stay tuned to the end for a letter to my future wifey.
Been writing these love letters to you.
Ladarian, thrusted suddenly into Child Protective Services in 2015. My nephew, Black, a boy. The likelihood of being adopted outside of kinship, slim to none. Armani, 16 years old, Black, a boy, with 5 years in the foster care system before I even knew his name. The likelihood of ever being adopted, yep, you guessed it, slim to none. While Ladarian and Armani were trying to survive and barely thrive in an overpopulated and underfunded foster care system, I was living my own life, doing well professionally. Having been a single father with a daughter who at that point was doing well in college, it was my time to live my life, right? Wrong. I felt unsettled, tireless, agitated. There are just too many of our Black children stuck in ambiguity and in the limbo of the foster care system. In 2017, I legally adopted my nephew, Ladarian. Fast forward to 2019, I had no ties to this other young king, but I felt God instructed me to adopt him also, and I obeyed. Starting over with parenting should have been enough, right? Working with various foster care and adoption agencies to help bring awareness to the countless young Black kings in the foster care system should have decreased my agitation, right? Joining the board of directors of Advantage Adoption, an organization that helps find permanent adoptive homes for children in foster care, should have led to some type of resolve, right? No, not at all. None of it felt like I had done enough. I now realize that every one of those experiences was laying the fundamental foundation for my life's mission, Kingdom Royale. Kingdom Royale will be a luxury state-of-the-art home for foster boys. Our first location will be in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. We will utilize the whole person approach that instills identity, empowers them to advocate for themselves, and enlightens them regarding new perspectives and limitless options that they thought were impossible. Though the young kings will attend the local public schools that are in proximity to Kingdom Royale, our at-home curriculum will broaden their worldview through participating in the arts, attending various cultural events, learning about and engaging in multifaceted discussions about current events and even relevant historical contexts, introducing them to gardening and landscaping and even caring for our animals on our farm and on-site stables. We just launched our startup capital campaign with the goal of raising $2.8 million. Now, why $2.8 million? Well, in 2017, I created a web series in which I performed random acts of kindness for targeting the homeless community. One of the most notable successes was that one of the videos went viral, garnering 28 million views. However, one of my biggest regrets is that I didn't raise a single dollar to help in implementing a more sustainable plan for the homeless community. So throughout the years, with much remorse, I reflected on not maximizing that moment. I knew if at that time, just 10% of the viewers donated $1, we would have raised at least $2.8 million that could have really established long-term support for the homeless community, or at least started a long-term initiative to do so. This is my do-over. This is our new beginning. Together, we can attack this at the root by specifically helping our homeless Black boys who are already disproportionately represented in the American foster care system. I'm LaTerrace R. Whitfield. I've been nominated for 3 regional Emmys documenting my work with the homeless as well as my personal adoption journey. Despite those accolades, the greatest award for me is truly providing the infrastructure for a transformed life. Visit KingdomRoyale.com for more details. Crown a king and make a donation today.
Man, that episode was amazing. I absolutely loved it. Well, here's my favorite part of the podcast where I speak to my future wifey. Dear future wifey, as I sit down to pen this letter to you, my heart brims with anticipation and gratitude for the woman you are and the journey we will embark on together. In the depths of my soul, I know that our union will be anchored in a shared commitment to living for Christ. First and foremost, I want you to know that my love for you will be an extension of my love for our Savior. Just as Christ loves the church, I promise to cherish, honor, and respect you in all circumstances. Together, we will strive to emulate the love of Christ in our marriage, putting each other's needs above our own and selflessly serving one another. In moments of joy and in times of trial, we will turn to God for guidance and strength, knowing that His grace is more than sufficient to carry us through any storm. Our home will be a sanctuary of love and grace, where forgiveness flows freely and where the light of Christ shines brightly in every corner. We will prioritize prayer, scripture, and fellowship, nurturing our spiritual growth individually and as a couple. Your future hubby. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Dear Future Wifey podcast. Remember, be lit, live intentionally and transparently, and don't stop loving. Make sure to subscribe to our Dear Future Wifey YouTube channel. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. We welcome your support. Simply share our podcast with your friends and family.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.